it, preach it. What if we kept reminding each other to preach it? Carlos, I know you don't need a lot of encouragement to preach the good news. But what if every day, what if someone called you or texted you first thing in the morning and said, Carlos, I just want to remind you, preach it today. Preach the good news. Man, what would that do, right? Yeah, you'd be out there like, I got to preach. I got to preach. I got to preach. And it is. It's like, this is exactly what he's called us to preach the good news. So I looked up a couple things, you know, because I want to know, like, these words. We use them, but what did they really mean? So this word preach comes from a Greek word, obviously, that is called caruso. And caruso means to proclaim, to declare, to announce, or to herald the message. So there was this person that would be chosen by the king, and he was called the Kairos. And the Kairos was the king's official spokesman. He was the herald of the king. He was the one that would be able to go in to actually have, like, these visits, these intimate, like, in the same room with the king, unlike anybody else, but he would have access to the king, and then he would get the message from the king and go out and be able to tell. So it might be that there's a news flash. There might be something that, a message that changed. There might be an announcement. There might be whatever the king wanted the people to know. It was this Kairos that would carry the message. So this position was, I mean, this was like supreme, you know, this was a high place to be considered that, and not everybody. So the person that carried that name, that title, they had to function with a high sense of, I don't want to say performance, but it was a responsibility that they carried, you know? And they had to do it with excellence because they were representing the king. And surely that's what we would do. So who does that make you think of right off the bat, right? Who are we? Yeah. Yeah. So we are the messengers. We are the spokesmen. We are the heralds. The ones that brings the good news. We get to preach it out like that. So that's all about the preaching there. Today, I really want us to talk about this connected to prayer because they're one and the same thing. So, you know, we sang about standing on the promises of God. And yes, we do stand on them. We stand on his word. We stand on his faithfulness. We stand on his truth and everything. We stand. But there's also a whole lot that we need to move. We need to speak. We need to talk. We need to preach it. We need to announce it. We need to pray into it. We need to prophesy it. There is a movement that has to take place too. So there's the standing, but then there's the prophesying. And that's what we're talking specifically in prayer today is prophetic prayer. And you know, Angela talked last week about our intimacy with God. You don't have anything to prophesy about if you haven't spent any time with the king. That's where it all comes from. And that's where we find out what his word is that we get to announce, that we get to walk out, right? So there's a scripture that kind of comes in and kind of troubles you a little bit. It's 1 Timothy 4:1. And it says, the Spirit clearly says. So now this is the Holy Spirit clearly saying that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. The Spirit clearly says this, okay? Some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught. That clearly says part right there is where we get our word rhetoric from. And rhetoric is the art of effective and persuasive speaking or writing. So we know that the enemy can't create anything. So the Spirit clearly says, but what does the enemy come along to do, right? He wants to try and clearly say things to you as well. One time I was at a luncheon. I don't know if you were there for this. It was at Carol Laridon's luncheon. A soldier came. Okay. And this soldier, and I've said this story before, but it paints such a great picture. This soldier came and he shared about, you know, being in Iraq and what they had experienced. And he said that they would go down the road, and of course they had to be very careful because there would be landmines. And so what they would do is they put this long pole out the front of the tank. Thank you very much. Out the front of the tank. And this pole had a chain that would hang down on the ground. And so if there was a bomb that was going to be detonated, you know, or a bomb that needed was triggered, this chain would hit that and it would explode and it wouldn't hurt anybody. But because they figured that out, because they knew this was the enemy's tactic on that, you know, that it would touch the ground and sway like that. So the enemy changed his tactic a little bit, and they made almost like a garage door type beam, you know, across. And so the soldiers, they came up and they put something different on the front of the tractor, and I mean the tank. And then and the tank would then, you know, it would trip that, and of course it would explode, but nobody would be hurt. The key to that story was that he said, somebody asked the question, well, how did you know who the enemy was? He said, you are never, ever trained to look and try and figure out who the enemy is, because you'll have groups of people, all kinds of people around you, and if you spend your time trying to look, could it be her? Could it be her? Is it him? Is it him? You'll be so sidetracked that you'll never know what he's doing because you're totally distracted with trying to see who it is. He said the only thing we needed to know was what are the enemy's tactics. That's what we need to know. We don't need to look behind every bush. We just need to know what his tactics are, because then we know how to thwart the enemy's schemes. Amen? So what is the enemy's tactic? Well, he wants to try and speak clearly to us. He wants to get us to convert our words, our thoughts, our feelings, our attitudes, our actions. He wants those to start coming along so that they start sounding like his, so that he can get us to start taking on his schemes, his words, his actions, and so forth. And so in essence, this is where the enemy tries now to change our mindsets or get our mindset established as his mindset. David said, Jane and Lennox, if you could assemble yourselves here. David said in Psalm 66:18, David said, If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Yeah, that's a good response right there. Because first of all, with David saying that really implies that this can happen to a believer. This isn't just somebody who's, you know, doesn't know anything about God. This is a believer. If I regard iniquity, then the Lord will not hear me. So to regard iniquity, turn your papers around, please, and I want you to just scatter around a little bit, okay? So here's the enemy's tactics, right? Okay, here's his heart. Stay up there, please. Okay, hold that up high. Okay, higher. Okay, so here's the enemy's heart. We know that he is anti-Christ, right? Okay, so now we have all these thoughts, all these things. We have a heart down there. We have our words. So the very first thing it says is that he wants to try and get us to change our words, because he knows when we can, here, walk with me. So when he can start getting our words to start sounding like his words, then, oh, he's got a chance. Because every word we own, ah, starts creating a thought. And now our words are starting to create thoughts. And these thoughts start rolling around more and more. And ooh, nothing better than to put a feeling with a thought. Ooh, that's a good one because that creates all kind of squishy spots. Ah, oh, I don't like that you did that because that hurts. And then we wrap that all into this wonderful package with our attitudes. And oh, he is on a roll. He is starting to get us in alignment with him. He is bringing this all in. And then ultimately everything has to wrap up because, you know, it's not just words and thoughts and feelings, but it is definitely, hold yours up a little more so they can see over Alessandra. Let's give her a chair. Somebody bring a chair here. So, there we go. And ultimately, I'm sorry, I forgot your, yes, please. Sorry. So he's got us right here. He's got us. He has all of our heart, all our soul, all lined up with where he exactly wants us to be, with his heart, with his desires. So when it says that if I regard or if I have this iniquity in my heart, well, here's the thing. If this is Christians that can still do this, believers that can do this, then what is the iniquity? Because, you know, we can stand here all day long proclaiming, declaring, announcing, you know, binding, loosing, rebuking, all the things. But it's iniquity in my heart. Iniquity isn't just that, oh, my actions are a little out of, you know, maybe a little out of sorts or, you know, oh, I have an attitude that, you know, kind of doesn't display Christ, whatever. No, and an iniquity is when there is sin in my heart and I know it, but I kind of cherish it. Like, it's kind of like a craving. Like, oh, I know I'm not supposed to do this because it is not right for me to be doing this. But yet, oh, it just feels, are you feeling? It's just, oh, it just feels so good when I do that or when I go there or when I visit that, whatever. You see what I'm saying? That's iniquity in our hearts. And so we can pray and pray and pray, but what's going to happen? There's this sin that is like just woo, a boulder that comes in the doorway of God wanting to pour out his blessings and his answers. And we, you know, prayers and supplications and all of that. And he's saying like, man, I'm barring it, but it stopped. And we get frustrated. So what do? We say, well, God's in charge. Yeah, we say God's in charge because you know what? It's kind of unbelief. See, I say it. I say what the scripture, I say what I'm believing for. I say it and everything. But there's this element of unbelief that comes in because I can say it, but quite honestly, I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see it in here before it happens, and I'm not seeing it out here either. And that's unbelief. There's a difference between unbelief and disbelief. Disbelief simply says he can't do what he says he can do. That's disbelief. But I can function and still have unbelief in my heart. So that represents where the enemy tries to get us to go. Okay, you guys don't look real comfortable, so I'm going to let you sit down for a second. Thank you very much. Give him a big hand. On the other hand, John's, you might leave that chair there. Deborah, here, let's say. No. You're good. You're fine. You're great. You might want to sit up front, though. So on the other hand, John says, this is the confidence that we have approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We have a confidence in that. So alignment is everything. Alignment is everything. Satan's either going to laugh at you or he's going to flee from you. It's whatever the alignment might be, what looks like. James 5:16 says that the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man avail much. Righteous man. A righteous man is one whose words, thoughts, feelings, attitudes, actions, heart to God, heart of man, all come into alignment with that. Okay, now you guys can come back up with a whole new look. A whole new look, okay? Because this is a righteous man. Okay, you guys already know you're ordered. Why don't you go ahead and put it right in? This is a righteous man right here. But you know that scripture, we quote that, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, okay? But let me just say this, it starts earlier than that. The scripture starts by saying, confess your sins one to another. Uh-oh. Oh my goodness, I have to use my words to confess a thought or maybe an attitude. What's an attitude, Jane?
Forgot.
You remember what an attitude is?
It's when our thoughts and our actions come together, right?
Attitude, close. Attitudes, this will hit you, really. Attitudes are a cluster of thoughts that are all wrapped up with emotions. That's why they're so powerful. So, confess your sins, your faults, one to another, okay? Then pray for one another that you may be healed.
Amen. Yes.
And then it says, the effectual fervent prayer. So there is an alignment, a proper alignment that precedes effectual prayer like that. Because there is, if we could have the picture of what they held up previously, you know, can you like turn your cards every now and then so that, you know, be like Vanna, so that everybody can see, okay? So if we could see the before, let's say, you know, you have the wrong one.
You said before.
Oh, thank you, okay. Repent. That's exactly. Change your feelings up to the mind of Christ. All right, guys. Okay, you can sit down again. But hold on to those, okay? Yes. So that brings me to the point of prophetic prayer. It comes from it comes from the Greek of prophero, pro-phero. Pro means towards. Pharaoh means carry or to bring. So prophetic prayer is to bring forth, to bring the goal forward with high energy. High energy, which motion or force. What does it say? The kingdom of God suffers violent, but the violent take it by force. Okay? So this prophetic prayer is to bring forth the goal with high energy, high force, as in moving something to its necessary manifestation. We carry the word of God inside of us. The same spirit that brooded over the face of the earth, you know, broods in us, carrying that. We carry this goal. We carry this forward. So, again, prophetic prayer then is that we bring forth something that manifests change according to the alignment of the will of God. So here's an amazing story. This came out of the book you gave me. Anybody ever hear of the American holiday called Juneteenth? Wow, you guys are good. See, all these history people. Okay, let me read you the story. I didn't know about it. This is a lesser-known American holiday, is called Juneteenth. celebration of June 19th, 1865, the proclamation of the abolition of slavery in the state of Texas. More commonly known to us is the Civil War, which assured the freedom of all slaves. The Emancipation Proclamation was signed on September 22nd, 1862, and went into effect on January 1st of 1863. But news traveled slow back then. The heralds didn't get around quite as fast as they do today, right? So the last state to hear this news is Texas. Texas at that point has an estimated 250,000 slaves still in slavery on this day. So here we go. They're legally free because this has already been signed as a legal document, but they're still living in slavery, right? 2.5 years later, they don't know anything about it, though. So on June 19th, 1865, General Granger stood on the balcony, declared and preached, said and read and proclaimed and declared and preached General Orders Number 3, the emancipation of all slaves. Woo! Emancipation, which means to be free from restraint, free from control, free from the power of another, especially to be free of bondage. Emancipation. And he declared it on the steps that day. But you know, along with him, he brought over 2,000 soldiers because they were coming to occupy Texas, and they knew that there could be some heavy-duty pushback to this proclamation. And so they were ready to take it by force. They were ready to do what it took to make sure slavery was done away with. I'm telling you, I get so excited about this because we get to do this every minute, any minute of every day. We get to set the captives free. Oh, gosh. So that's prophetic prayer. But Jesus gave us another example, and it was in Luke 18. And this is the story about the unjust judge and a widow. And the widow needs justice because, you know, she couldn't really do it for herself, so she needed justice. Now, this unjust judge, though, he didn't want to give her the time of day at all. He can't stand her. It says he disdains her, so he can't stand her. And she comes and presents her case, and he's like, out of here. Okay, next case, you know, and she goes away. But she's not going to give up very easily, so she comes back. Again, he's like, lady, I already told you no. Goes away, comes back. Again, I don't know how many times. A lot. Because it says she wearied him. She wore him out. And the unjust judge finally avenges her, vindicates her, gives her the justice that she was there for. Now, why did Jesus use a crazy story like that to represent how we function in his kingdom and who he is? He used it as a contrast, because if an unjust judge would give vindication and would avenge this widow, how much more would the just judge of all give us to those of his elect that he loves and that he longs to see the best for? And so he painted this picture, but in addition to just seeing that part of it, he also painted the picture that there's legal things that take place in the kingdom of God. There are legalities here. You talked about Abraham. I can't think of the story, but it popped in about the woman. I don't remember it, but I just remember there's a scripture that talks about this certain woman and that they speak over her and say, she shall have, da-da-da, whatever, because she is a daughter of Abraham. That word shall was her legal standing right there. Because legally, I am a daughter of Abraham. I shall have that. I get that, right? That's what he's saying. You have to know your legal rights here. You have to know the legal jargon. What is the legal jargon of the courts of heaven? His word. His word. But we have to go there with him. We have to spend time with him in his word, but also with him, so that we can know what he's speaking, so that we can bring it forth and declare the verdict here on earth. That's our legal right. We have to understand that, because we pray sometimes and we come to with a list. So, Father, I thank you. Would you heal? Would you heal my husband? Would you, could you, how on earth are we going to? We come with this type of attitude in prayer, but that isn't releasing anything legal. I mean, you go in a courtroom and you go up and start saying, I don't know if I could, I would, and will you, and they're going to be late to get out of here. Like, you need an attorney. Yeah, I do, and his name is Jesus, and he is my attorney. He's my advocate right there. And guess what? If I don't know what else to say, if I don't know what else to pray, it says that I have a paralegal. He's called the Paraclete, and his name is the Holy Spirit. And he speaks and he prays according to the perfect alignment of God, the perfect will of God, totally aligned. And then it says, Jesus says, that whatever you ask in my name, you shall have. You shall have it. Why? Because it's a legal document. He released it legally to you. You get to carry it out, and there's nothing the enemy can do. So that's when he has to go. You have to go. You just tell him, you have to go. You have to go. You have to go. And if you think he's not looking, listening to you, well, you remind him of the legal verdict. And you have to go.
That's right.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's that portal right there. In Jesus' name. Psalm 89:14. Right, this is one of my favorite scriptures. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne, O God. The foundation of his throne. Righteousness and justice. Righteousness. There's nothing that could have to change in God's thinking to be right. There's nothing. When he says a righteous man, it's like I just showed you. Everything is in alignment. Righteousness, that's his foundation. Justice is his foundation. Prayer is a means for justice to come forth. He says, I've never, the scripture says, well, I don't know where, but it says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or my children out begging bread. Why? Because it'd be illegal for us to do that, because according to what he says. So, Mark, okay, we're already. So whatever I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe. Believe. Believe that you've received it. Believe it. If the judge awarded you, and here you're in some case, okay, and you're in the courtroom, and the verdict comes, and he says, okay, so here's the verdict, and the court awards you $3 million for whatever happened, okay? Would you be like, I don't know. I don't know if I could believe that. I'd be like, oh, I believe it. I believe it. I see it, and I'm going to use it too. So when sickness comes and tries to impede your body, what are you going to do? Because it's a legal thing. So I can go and I can stand and say, well, according to the law of life and liberty and the kingdom of God, of which I am a citizen of, I therefore bring forth and decree today that from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 5, I think it is, 5, let's say. I'm sure it's 5. Verse 5, that it says that he was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. That's a legal document right there. Well, okay, so I speak that. I declare that. I believe it. I see it. I know it's come to pass because it has to. It's his word. We were laughing about all these things that have been going on, you know, with different people. And somebody else was just telling me again about Jeannie. You were talking about your brother-in-law, you know, and situation with another kind of an Adam situation there and how God protected him and all this. And I'm like, of course. Why would we even give a second thought to another idea that could? We can't. That we're in legal standings with God. And it's true. And it's forever. And it's the proclamation of emancipation. So sickness, bondage, oppression. That song, I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. So today, we're going to have the prophetic team actually come up here. They have a good word to proclaim to you today. Isn't that awesome? But I want to ask you, what will you do with that good word? It's a good question. I had to add, I have to play something. Actually, I pulled this up after I had been sitting meditating on this, you know, for this morning. And I thought, you know, I have prophetic words in my phone that I haven't listened to in a long time. And I found this one that actually was for Ron, and then he ended up listening to it further, and it was the part over me. He said, you need to listen to this. And he said, I think you should play this. And this isn't about me, but this is the promises of God. This is what are we going to do with this promise? But when I heard this, I'm like, oh, my gosh. And what am I talking about this morning, okay? So this is back on April 8th, 2018. This was the Compassion to Action team that came from Bethel, okay? They were second-year students that came. I don't know how many of you were here. So let me, it's probably 30 seconds.
Play ball.
I just saw that you had so much discernment just in the spirit. You like really can look at things and see the heart behind matters, and from that place you pray very strategically. You know, there are certain people that they just don't waste any time. You know, they get right to the heart of the matter, and God is saying thank you so much for being an amazing steward of your time and your prayers, and they really hit the mark.
Wow.
And I was really reminded of, I read something in Psalms 73, and it's this encounter this person describes of, you know, he says, I was in deception, and then all of a sudden I was brought into the sanctuary of the Lord, and like the light of his glory, sorry, I'm reading.
It's okay.
It says, but one day I was brought into the sanctuaries of God, and in the light of glory, my distorted perspective vanished, and God told me that that's what you do for people. You, like, bring his revelation truth into their hearts, and you really show people who God is and tear down just just every false image of God and idols in people's hearts. I really just feel your truth really hits the mark. It also says that, I just really felt like he was going to use you to speak the word of God over people, and it dissolves worthless opinions. And it's beautiful because I really feel that's what this area needs. It's people who are living in God's conviction, and they use their every time, their daily devotion to God, they use everything that they have to serve him. So thank you so much for
Right? You get a word like that, what am I going to do with it? Well, I believe I'm doing it, honestly, you know? But I just want to be like, it's like, she just said, preach it, preach it, preach it, you know? Ah, so good. So come up and receive a word, a good word, the good news of God. But then take that word and walk it out. Pray into it. Lean into it with him. Have him talk to you. Have him unfold the bigger picture to you. Because it's what are we going to do? He works in partnership with us. And we have a legal right to do that. And then I want to ask you, like, they've been up before and many of us have gotten words and everything. But just like that one, what have I done with it? What have we done with the previous promises that we have? I want to encourage you to pull out your prophetic words. Pull out those promises that you might be standing on right now and go further with them and really go into the courts of heaven with him. Get the current verdict to remind you of your legal standing so you can proclaim it. So, will you align yourself with God? It comes down to that. Proper alignment precedes effectual prayers. Now, if I could have all of you come back up, and I'd like you to have the first set of thought. Yeah, that squiggly kind, okay? We're going to listen to a song as we close, but I want to first read. Don't go into. I want this I want to paint for you as a picture of repenting, okay? If I can paint that. So repentance means that we are renewing our mind. We are changing our mindset. The day I got saved, I repented. I changed my mindset towards God. Now, there is a renewing and there's a growing. We know all that. But there is a deciding point that we make that says, no, I'm repenting. I am walking away. It's not, repentance is not just saying, oh, please forgive me for stepping on your toe. That's not repentance. That's apology. Repent means if I came up purposely and and then I came back and again. And then suddenly I say, you know what? That is not right. I am hurting her. I really ask you to forgive me. I'm not going to do that anymore. I understand it hurt you. Okay? That's a repenting. That's a changing of our heart, changing of our mind. So as I read this, just a few lyrics of this song, you guys shift yourselves into that repentant mindset. Everybody got it? We did not practice this, as you did. And the verdict says, it is finished. All right, this is from a song, so you might be familiar. It's called Prophesy Your Promise. And I'm just going to read a little part. Okay, so I found you in the middle of my mess. You had been there all along. Open arms and open heart. There you go. There's God's heart. Okay, open arms and open heart. You called me in, and you didn't hesitate at all. And the lies I once believed, they crumbled. Ooh. Can everybody see? Those were words, okay? And the weight of your truth and the fear that gripped my heart is arrested. Are you guys coming into alignment here? Yes. Could you please come in? Yes. Sorry. Okay, I'll get out of the way. Okay, so the lies I once believed crumbled, and the way, with the weight of your truth, and the fear that gripped my heart is arrested. Go ahead. And let's add feelings into that too, because fear is a feeling. It's arrested so that I can see you. When I only see in part, I will prophesy your promise. I believe you, God, because you finish what you start. I will trust. Here, where's attitudes at this? Attitudes, you need to come in at this. I will trust you in the process. That is a big attitude, because it's all thoughts and feelings all wrapped up. Can I trust? I will trust you in the process. I believe. Action and heart go together. I believe you, God. I believe you, God. Whew. Okay. Father, we thank you for your word today. Just like a chiropractor right now, your word just kind of brings us into proper alignment, that your heart for us starts to already penetrate our words, our thoughts, our feelings, our attitudes, and shows up mightily in our actions, because our heart is aligned with you. So, Wendy, if we could go ahead and put this song on, and I'd like to just spend, you know, just a little bit of time, just let these words, I just want them to kind of marinate into you, and we're going to, you could sing with it, because the words will be up there, and then the prophetic team, you can go ahead and get yourselves organized, and if you'd like a good word today from God, you're believing for something. You may have a promise that you don't really know what to do with. I say bring that promise up here, and let's get God's word. Let's get the legal standing for you to walk away with. Bring your phones so you can record, or somebody that can write it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Come on, let's just stand. Let's close off with this prayer.
With open arms and open heart.
Turn it up. Turn it louder, please.
You didn't hesitate at all. And the lies I once believed, they crumble at the weight of your truth.
Here's the part where, turn it up, please. Here's the part where we begin to align ourselves.
My heart,
we repent. We repent to you. We come into
so
alignment.
I can see you. When I only see in part, I will prophesy your promise. I believe you, God.
We claim it. We declare it. We announce it. We preach it.
I will trust you in the process. I believe you, God. You set a table in the middle of my world. You knew the outcome of it all. With what I face looked like it whenever. Said shame below.
Yeah, you can say that in church. Come on.
I know whose I am. God, I belong to you. Fear can go to hell. Shame can
right
go
where it belongs, because that's where it came from.
I know whose
oh,
I am.
Come on, I will prophesy God, your promise. Going to be long with any one person, so if you want to receive the word, just go ahead and spread yourselves out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Jesus. I will prophesy a promise. I believe you, God. Because you said why. So that I